10 popular misconceptions. Now, there are many misconceptions surrounding Christmas, about Jesus and his birth at Bethlehem, about who God really is, and about who Jesus really is. And we're going to look at 10 of these popular misconceptions now. So the first of our misconceptions, an old man with a white beard. Now, because Father Christmas is portrayed as an old geezer with a white beard, there is kind of an assumption that God is an old man with a white beard. Do you remember I told you earlier on that word ancient? Just keep it there, ancient. Did I say ancient earlier on? Yeah. I would say that God is ancient, but, well, let me explain. The Bible tells us that God has always existed, and he exists today, and he will exist forever. And don't think this is disrespectful. The Bible actually in one place describes God as ancient. In fact, the name is the Ancient of Days. But we've got to understand what ancient means in this context. Because in our world today, ancient normally means decay or broken or had it. You know, when something's had it, it's ancient. Sometimes you might refer to your parents or grandparents as ancient. I know that. Or kaput. But what we have to understand is that there is no decay in God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God brings newness and renewal. Beautiful verse in the Bible tells us that God's compassion is new every morning. And get this one. When God sends his Spirit, he renews the face of the earth. So that was number one. Number two, Jesus started existing at Bethlehem. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus has always existed, and he has many names in the Bible. And one of his interesting names is the Word. Funny name for a person, perhaps, but Jesus' name in the Bible, the Word. And the Bible says that the Word is God, and the Word, that is Jesus, was with God from the beginning, and it even said everything was created through him, Jesus, the Word. And so at Bethlehem, about 2,000 years ago, what actually happened, and this is what the Bible says, the Word, Jesus, who had always existed, put on a human body. And I want to ask you, think about this for a moment. Ponder, if you will. At creation, God made man in the image of God. That is at creation. At Bethlehem, God took on the likeness of man. God became a man. Let's move on. Third one. Popular misconception number three, the donkey. We all love the dear old donkey. Is that right? Yeah? And parents enjoy dressing their children as sheep and donkeys and innkeepers and even stars. I think that was my first ever role, a star. Yeah. I was about five. Yeah, I was a star. Yes, I was a star once. But did Mary really ride on a donkey to Bethlehem? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know because the Bible does not tell us. So could Mary and Joseph have afforded a donkey? Well, we don't know that either, but I reckon they were pretty poor. Why? Well, as an example, the law that was in operation at the time of Mary and Joseph, the Jewish law, it stated that after childbirth, the mother must go to the temple, to the priest, and give the priest a lamb and either a pigeon or a dove as well as a lamb. But what's interesting is there was a special clause in the old law, specially for the benefit of poor people. And the law said that if the woman could not afford a lamb, she could bring two pigeons or two doves instead of the lamb and the pigeon or the dove. What do you reckon, Mary and Joseph? Did they take the birds or did they take the lamb? They didn't take the lamb, which makes me assume they couldn't afford the lamb. So, I don't know, a donkey, that may well have been over budget too. Let's move on. The stable. Now, I hope I'm not going to get pelted with, I don't know what, cakes and things, because the stable featured very highly just now in our drama. Well, I tell you what, stables are really great for nativity plays. They're really helpful because if you have a stable, you can have a cow, a lamp, you can have somewhere to hang the lamp if you want. You can have the innkeeper coming, banging on the door, and so on and so on. Now, on our screen tonight, I'm trying to work out what's going on. I'm assuming that the press have just arrived and Mary and Joseph have popped out to the front of the stable for a photo shoot to show off the little baby Jesus. But was Jesus really born in a stable? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know because the Bible doesn't actually tell us. But what we are told is this. While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This was certainly not a luxury welcome to planet Earth. Jesus came to our planet, not quite sure about the stable, but he was placed in a manger. Why? Because he loves us. Now, the next one. These are lovely guys. Look at these. The Magi. The three Magi, or the three wise men riding on three camels. This is popular misconception number five. Now, if you have a class of 30 primary school children and everyone needs a part in the Christmas play, then obviously having three Magi and three camels as well, that provides a further six roles. So I can see why camels are important. But were there in fact three Magi and did they ride on three camels? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know because the Bible doesn't actually tell us. But what we do know is this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And then it says that when they eventually found the baby Jesus, they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And because there were three gifts that were given, some people have assumed that there were three Magi, each giving one gift each. But there could have been more than three Magi, or there may have been only two. And as for the camels, that's anyone's guess. Move on to popular misconception number six. I'm glad we sang this great song tonight. Because the Bible makes no reference to the night of Jesus' birth being silent. But think about it and ponder, if you will. If lots of people had traveled to Bethlehem because of the census, don't forget they didn't go there to see Jesus. Most people went because of the census, right? And if Mary and Joseph were not the only ones looking for accommodation that night, then Bethlehem was probably very busy and noisy that night. And I don't think it was that silent when a whole army of angels started declaring to the shepherds in unison, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. We'll move on to popular misconceptions number 7. Jesus came for good people. People somehow assume that you have to be good for God. You have to be good to come to God. Some people even say, I will come to God when I have got my life sorted out. But Jesus said himself that he did not come for people who have done everything right, but rather he came to call people, to invite people who know that they have got things wrong. To call people to turn towards God. And after baby Jesus had grown into the man Jesus, he welcomed so-called bad people. And it's all there in the Bible. He welcomed prostitutes and he welcomed criminals. And here's an interesting thing, because I looked this up. He welcomed both those who had been involved in what we call blue-collar crime, okay, and those who had been guilty of what we call white-collar crime. Yes, he welcomed people who had been cooking the books in the tax office. Did you know? Okay. And he also invited, or he also welcomed a whole group of, well, I don't want to be nasty, but let's call them smelly shepherds. How many of you have ever spent a few days with some shepherds? You have? Oh, two people and me as well. That makes us three. And, well, the smell of sheep is pretty kind of strong. My friends, Jesus welcomes anyone and everyone into his family. He loves us all. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have overspent already on Christmas? Just raise a hand, half a hand. No one's overspent. Well, one, okay. Let's go on to popular misconceptions, number 8. Oh, why didn't it do that? There you go. Christmas is all about giving. Now, the shops would love us to believe this one, because the more tat that we give as presents, the more we have to buy, and it helps the retailers to reach their sales targets. But is it true? Is it all about giving? Yes, it is true that just over 2,000 years ago, God gave his most precious gift to our world, his own son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him may have life. Not just a mere existence, but life, real life, life that starts when we believe in him and just keeps on going forever. And this life is available to everyone who believes and who receives Jesus. So you see, it's not only about giving. Yes, God has given, but it is also about receiving too. And the Bible says everyone who receives Jesus and believes in him He gives the right for that person to become a child of God. So what about it, my friends? I invite you, receive Jesus, believe in him, become a child of God. Just two more to go. Popular misconception number 9, God lives in church buildings. Don't you love our church building? Have you had a look at the stained glass windows? They are lovely. We're so proud of our church building. I think probably we all know that this one is not true. God has never lived in buildings on earth, but wait for it, he does live on earth. But where does he live? On earth. He lives in people. Just ordinary folk like me and like you. On the inside, in that inner place. Now, where am I talking about? Well, it's the real me deep inside the visible me. And I reckon that you all know about that inner place. I reckon you all know about the inner me deep inside. You see, you all have an inner place deep inside you. You know that place because that's the place where you feel it the most when you are sad. And if people have been disrespecting you and abusing you, that's the place where you feel hurt. That's the place where you feel marginalized. If you've got a lot of things coming up that need sorting out, that's the place where you feel anxiety. It's also, of course, it's not only a bad place, it's the place where you can feel hope. It's that wonderful place where... But of course, it's also the place where we feel guilt. Also, and many other things too. Jesus wants to live inside of us, in our inner place. Invite him, if you will. And popular misconception number 10. We've got plenty of time. This is perhaps the greatest illusion, the greatest misconception, that we've got plenty of time to come to God. The Bible says now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day. Jesus wants to live in us, in our inner place. Please invite him.